Praise the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
God is good. We got to believe. And that's truth. I thank God that I believed. I thank God that you believed. I thank God that you believed, even believed in me, and enough to send me, a young missionary, single missionary, to the work. That wasn't easy for, I know for you, it wasn't easy for me, and it was a trust from both sides, but God knew what I needed, gave me exactly what I needed. Gave me a perfect match and a perfect wife for this whole situation that I have in Poland, and it's been a real blessing. And we've been married 8 years now, last month, June 11th, we've been married 8 years, and it's just been a real blessing. It's been a real blessing to go down this road, trusting in God. There's nothing better than that. I'm telling you right now, there's nothing better in your life when you give your life to God and let Him lead it. Amen. When you let Him lead it, good things will happen. Amen. When you try to take over, well, just remember how you were before you got saved. That's all you need to think about. Just think about that. Well, I'm not going to have to go through all the explanation of what's going on in Poland. You got already a lot of information and stuff, and we'll be having another meeting. I'll maybe give you some up to date on what happened to us. Just to let you know, I am right now in Torun working with the old men. They need a little bit young blood, so I decided 2 years ago to go and join them to get some life into that church. So I went to the help them, to help them sing and preach. They just needed some extra help. But it's been a real blessing working with my dad and Brent Riggs, so working with the veterans. It was a little bit dicey at the beginning, trying to figure out how I'm going to fit in with the old veterans, knowing that I was raised by one of them and as my father, and the other one basically as my uncle. So it was a very trying time, but I think we worked it out, and I'm basically, left in the dark usually. They just do what they want to do. So I come to that conclusion, okay, you do what you want to do. All right, I'll find out through the internet. That's how I found out, actually, that Dad's having a revival meeting here in February. He doesn't tell me anything. I was like, there's information here on the church. Oh, no, interesting. Dad's going to back to San Antonio in February. All right, thanks, Dad. Appreciate it. That's how I find out about things, but it's okay. Nothing new under the sun has always been that way. It's been a real riot working with those two, seeing how they work and how they, you don't even have to communicate. They just look at and just do it. All right. Whatever that look was, I'll find out in a few months. Anyways, no more of that. Deuteronomy chapter 10. I want to share with you something that's been on my mind. Deuteronomy chapter 10. Verse 12. It says, "And now, Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee, but to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all His ways, and to love Him, and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul."
Amen.
It's a very interesting verse right here. Because quite often, especially during missions, people start out wondering, maybe not only the missions, but people ask themselves, and sometimes angrily, ask God, "What do you want from me?"
Amen.
They get confused and they get lost and they cry out, "Lord, what do you want from me?"
Amen.
I'll get to what. Right here you have a verse. God says, "What doth the Lord require of thee?" God requires of us many things. Too often, Christians believe that salvation is the end of the road.
Amen.
And they sit down and they just relax until that day comes when they meet God in heaven. No, I'm sorry to tell you, that is not the end. That is the very beginning where life starts.
Amen.
And work begins. Hard work. It is not time to sit back and relax. It's time to do something. And that's why right here it says, "What doth the Lord require of thee?" This is exactly what God wants from you. God is not asking you and pleading with you. He's telling you, "What do I want from you?" He tells us right here the first thing, "The Lord requires of thee." Before I even start with that, about what He requires exactly, I wanted to just try to make it and bring it to a little bit of better context. God has called us to a great work. You look at Ephesians 4:1 with me real quick. Keep your place there in Deuteronomy. We'll be going back there in a second. I want you to look at Ephesians 4:1 real quick. It says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. Paul here is talking to the Ephesians and he says, I want you to understand that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you were called. You were called to a great vocation. I'm sorry, it does not say vacation. Vocation. There is an O, not an A there. It is not time to sit back and relax and do nothing. This is a vocation, a calling, a work to get out and do something for the Lord. I'm afraid too many people read vacation there. Because I see that too often. Where Christians think, alright, I'll just leave that to other people. I'll just leave that to the ministers. I'll leave that to the preachers. Tell you what, every single person in this room can do something. Every single person, I don't care how old you are, if you're young, if you're old, I do not care. You have a vocation. God has called you. There is something you can do. If it's prayer, if it's passing out tracts, if it's giving, if it's being here. Do you understand how important, how wonderful it is to preach to people?
Amen.
It's hard to convert chairs.
That's right.
It's not easy. It's wonderful to see a multitude of people. In Poland, we have, you know, on a good day, we have probably about 10, 15 on the good day. Generally, on Wednesday night meetings, as you guys know, generally Wednesday night meetings are the low crowd. The faithful. And I want to right now tell you one thing. If you're not here on Wednesday night meetings, that is, as my wife said, shame on you. Perfect. You know what? Every single opportunity you have to meet with brothers and sisters is a wonderful opportunity to grow.
Right.
If you do not come, you do not care about growing.
Amen. All right.
That's
Amen.
The truth.
Amen.
Amen.
That's right.
You do not care. You care only just to satisfy your soul for a few minutes so you can make it through to the next Sunday. And that's a shame. We should desire the Word of God so much that we cannot wait till Wednesday night. We cannot wait till Sunday. We cannot wait till the next Wednesday and so on and so forth. And we say, man, I wish we had one more extra somewhere in there. It'd be just wonderful. I'm serious. I'm dead serious. I remember when I lived here, I really enjoyed being three times in church. In Poland, being three times, like, whoa. Two times are already, you know, exceeding our limit. They're already shocked that you meet twice during the week. Whoa. We meet here with three times. We are called to a vocation. I'm afraid we've gotten too lackadaisical in our lifestyles.
Amen.
Too comfortable. I read a verse and during the prayer meeting night, said, to remember, I remind you to stir up the Spirit. I want this conference to be a stirring up.
Amen.
Of what's happening in our lives. To get stirred up so we can start doing something.
Amen.
Instead of being lackadaisical and doing nothing.
Amen.
And thinking that there's a time of vacation, just wait till our time comes to meet our Maker. This is not that time. This is time for the pagans to preach the gospel. This is the perfect time for you to do something for Him.
Amen.
Not for you to do something for you.
Amen.
Let's go about God's work.
Amen.
Let's do God's work.
Yes, sir.
Let's
Amen.
Do what He has called us to do. And He requires of us much. He doesn't require, He doesn't plead with you. He requires something from you. He demands it, actually. He demands for you, as we have here back in our text, Deuteronomy 10:12, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee but to fear the Lord? Isn't that the problem around this world?
Yes, Lord. Amen.
Isn't that the problem around this world? Lack of fear of the Lord.
Right.
They throw His word back into His face as if it's nothing. They take His word and they change it to fit their needs. They use His name like if it's just another curse word.
That's right.
Earlier today, Brother Adam, from he goes to the Southside Church, he came over to Missy's house and we were talking, and he said that when he was younger, he didn't believe in it, he didn't know anything, but he went to some church and it said something about, you know, what would Jesus do? And something was happening, and he just mentioned the word. Something bad was happening. He just said, what would Jesus do? And it changed the whole entire atmosphere. He didn't really believe it. Just the name of Jesus changed. Made him think. You know how powerful that name is?
Amen.
All nations shall bow down to that name.
Amen.
All tongues shall confess that He is Lord.
Amen.
That is a powerful name.
Amen.
And yet people use it loosely. This world doesn't fear the Lord. They see no reason for Him. They see that He has not punished them for their evil doings. They do not fear Him enough. But the Bible says, fear the Lord thy God.
Amen.
You know, the Bible clearly says about fear of the Lord, and it's probably a sermon that is preached so many times over that has gotten kind of old, but yet it's also something we need to be reminded. What the Bible talks about the fear of the Lord. The Bible says, Proverbs 1:7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge.
Amen.
But fools despise wisdom and instruction.
Right.
You know, too many young people nowadays despise instruction. If you're a young person in here and you have a father who teaches you and tells you what to do the biblical way, don't despise instruction. The Bible calls you a fool. But fools despise instruction. That is exactly why we have pastors and elders and parents to teach us God's ways.
Thank you, Lord.
And parents, you have a responsibility to teach your children God's ways.
Amen.
His ways. Proverbs 15:6 says, better is little with fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble therewith. Ouch. That one hurts. That one hurts, doesn't it? Let me just read it again. Better is little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble therewith. Does that sound like America today? Not the first part. The second part. Great treasure and trouble therewith? Man, I look around and like Caleb was my son was noticing, they got big trucks. Like they got nice cars. We got only French cars over in Poland. We got you know, little Kias. We got little tiny things that run around. You know, you have mopeds that have bigger engines than those over there. But man, great treasure. But I think of the trouble that this country is headed. Trouble therewith. Now think about your life. Put in perspective about your life. Better is little with the fear of the Lord.
Amen. All right.
You know what? I bet we could do with a little bit less.
Amen.
Not a little bit more.
Amen.
We could really do, and all of us, I mean, I ain't talking to myself, and I would say, we could do with less. And we have done with less. Remember those days? I bet you remember the days when life was rough, when you actually feared the Lord and you had less, and it was a wonderful time, was it not? It was a blessing. Because you were in the fear of the Lord. You were just having the time of your life. But then you were thinking, oh, this is so difficult. You look back and that was the best days of your life. We should go back. We should think of those days. Have a little bit less, not a little bit more. The Lord taketh pleasure, Psalmist says, the Lord taketh pleasure in them that fear Him,
Amen.
And those that hope in His mercy.
Amen.
He taketh pleasure in those that fear Him. Do you love to give pleasure to your Master?
Amen.
To your Maker? To your Creator? To your Savior?
Amen.
Do you love to give Him pleasure or do you love to make Him angry?
Amen.
Yeah. We need sometimes some harsh words to
Amen.
Just make it hurt.
Amen.
We need this time. We need sometimes just to bring it into perspective. Instead of being lackadaisical, lazy. The Lord takes pleasure in them that fear Him. My prayer is that we would fear Him,
brothers and sisters.
More. More than we have. More than we've ever have in our lives. Psalm says, "Praise ye the Lord. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth glad greatly in His commandments." Praise ye the Lord. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord. A blessed man that fears the Lord. Oh, I want to be blessed. Do you want to be blessed? Do you want to be touched? Do you want to be moved? The Bible says, "Fear the Lord, and you will be blessed." The one that delighteth greatly in His commandments. Do you delight greatly in God's commandments and His orders? You know, if you go back to Deuteronomy and he sees here, he talks to Israel. He says, "Israel, what doth the Lord require of thee but to fear the Lord?" Why does he even have to mention it? Isn't that weird? He has to mention to fear the Lord. Fear the Lord, God, King, Sovereign, Creator of everything.
Amen.
Shouldn't that logically be something already instilled in our minds?
Amen.
Yes. We should normally, without hesitation, fear Him without even one second of a thought. But yet we do not.
Yeah.
And we read the Old Testament and they did not. Time and time again. They fell. Oh, thank God they repented.
Amen.
Thank God for God's mercy. Thank God that He was always ready to receive them back.
Amen.
But they fell. And He had to remind them and tell them, "This is what I want from you. This is what I require of you. This is what I want you to do."
Amen.
And we need to be reminded. Amen. This is what God wants from us. They had a tendency, the Israelites had a tendency of wandering off and doing their own thing. Like making a golden calf when Moses was a little bit delayed. How many times have you given up on God just because things were a little bit out of time?
Right.
And you started just, you know what, that's it. I don't know why I'm even bothering with this. Hey, fear the Lord.
Amen.
Fear the Lord. Don't do your own thing. They often did things just to be like other nations around them. Like, oh, they have a king. I want a king. They have a car. I want a car. Why can't I get a car? I have a house. Why can't I have a house? It's like whining at little babies. They complained and whined when things began to get a little rough. But did God's promise ever go away? Did God's promise ever, did He ever let them down?
No.
Ever. And yet, you look back in the history and He never did.
Amen.
There was no evidence.
Yes.
And yet, they always acted as if He had. Have you noticed?
Yeah.
And how about yourself? How about ourselves?
Amen.
How many times has God pulled you out, gave you victory, and yet you gave up on Him when things got a little bit rough?
Amen.
Fear the Lord. How much do you fear the Lord? Or do you try to do things your own way sometimes when you get a little anxious and get a little anxiety attack and you want to just...
Amen.
Yeah? Let's think about it. How obedient are you to God? Or does God have to constantly punish you like I have to constantly punish my children for disobedience?
Amen.
We are like little children, aren't we?
Right.
Constantly being spanked. Constantly being reminded.
Right.
And I ask my children sometimes, "Do you like to get spanked? Do you just like that? Do you just enjoy having me to get angry? Because it seems like it. Seems like I just told you not to do that. You did it. I just told you. And how many times did God just tell us to do something and we just, whatever. Yeah, right.
Amen. All right. Right. Guilty. All right.
Let's think about it. Now, we talk about obedience, and that's exactly what's the next one in line. He says, what doth the Lord require of thee but to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all His ways.
Amen.
To walk in all His ways. His ways.
Amen.
Look at it that way. His ways, not your ways. His ways are not your ways. Our thoughts are not His thoughts.
Amen.
We must look at the perspective of God, not the perspective of ours. God is a God, a sovereign God, who demands from us to walk in His ways and to be obedient in everything He says.
Amen.
To be obedient.
Amen.
Even if you do not understand why.
Amen. All right. Preach it, brother.
How many times have you asked God, why, Lord?
Right. Amen.
My children ask me, Dad, why? Why is that? Because I said so. All you need to know. If you don't like that, we can go to the back room and you can have a net session with a happy paddle. Because a happy paddle always makes you happy afterwards. And that's exactly what God has to do sometimes. Walk in all His ways. Now, why must He tell us this? Once again, these things that He says here should be so logical that it's not even a doubt. Not even an issue. Shouldn't be an issue. To obey God? Come on.
Amen.
Come on. How childish is that? To obey just without questioning.
Amen.
Yes, Lord.
Amen.
I will go. Yes, Lord. I will follow. Yes, Lord. I will do.
Amen.
Instead of saying, you know what? I'm not quite ready yet. You know what? I don't think I'm qualified. You know what? I don't think I need that. Too often, we ask the question, why, instead of just saying, yes.
Amen.
Now, I want you to look at why exactly God tells us to obey His commandments. He actually explains to us in Deuteronomy chapter 6. If you go back a few chapters there in Deuteronomy. Go back a few chapters, Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 24. He actually explains to us, once again, like little children, just in case you didn't quite follow, just to make it a little bit more, you know, to the point. He says, and the Lord commanded us, verse 24, to do all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God for our good always.
Thank you, Lord.
Yeah. He wants us to obey for our good.
Amen.
You know, He tells us these things for a reason. He doesn't just do it just because he can. He's not like us daddies say, you know, go bite that tree. what is that for? Don't ask why. Just do it. God has a purpose. He has a plan. He knows what He's doing. He created you. He created this world.
Amen.
He made it to function in an incredible way.
Amen. Amen.
And He's looking out for our good. He wants us to be blessed, brothers and sisters. He wants us to be blessed. That is why He's doing it. When we tell our children not to look both ways before you cross the street, there is a reason for it. We want you to live.
Amen. Yeah.
If we did not, we'd say, go on ahead. We wouldn't care. But we do. We have a reason and a purpose. Walk in His ways. Obey His commandments. He knows what's more beneficiary for us. He knows it'll be beneficiary for
Amen.
Us. It'll benefit. It'll help. You'll be blessed. You'll be moved. You'll be touched. You'll be lifted up because of obeying only. If we could only obey more often. And this is exactly what the perfect time and the perfect situation right now when we're talking about missions. Because I don't know, maybe God is calling someone right now. And you get a little bit nervous, hands getting sweaty, wondering, no, You know, somebody asked me, how do you know when God calls you? You know, there's not like a trumpet, or there's not something, you know, some signs as earthquake or something. I just knew in my heart that if I did not do this work, I'd be wasting my life. I felt that in my heart when I was here. I felt like when I was here, and there's no disrespect to anybody, but I felt like I was just withering away. And I didn't like that feeling. I wanted to be where I was doing something. And I was preaching here, and I was doing things, but it wasn't exactly what God was calling me to do. He called me to preach. And I love it. I love it. We need to obey. You know, it's a blessing when we obey. It's definitely less painful.
Amen.
Definitely less painful. Believe me. I would love to not ever in my life have to sing my children again.
Amen.
It's not a fun thing. It's a necessary because just that's the way we are. But it's definitely less painful to obey.
Amen.
And when we think about being blessed, God wants us to be blessed. He even says, I want you to obey me because I want you to lay up treasures in heaven. Go to Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16. Did I say 16? 6, please. My fault. I was like, what? That's not what it's at. Matthew chapter 6. Verse 19. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. And this is a heartbreaker right here. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also.
Amen.
Wow.
Amen.
You know, by obeying God's word and following His ways, you lay up treasures in heaven. When you follow God's ways, He will lead you to where you are needed, to men and women and people who need the gospel, to where you can be blessed. You know, a lot of these things, as I look at it in the Bible and God's commandments, a lot of things are spiritually blessed. Of course, God also blesses us financially. Praise God for that. Praise God that He does bless us in earthly manners. Gives us jobs, careers. Gives us things that we can support our family. Praise God that God is so merciful that He does this. But you know what? There's a greater picture than that.
Amen.
The spiritual realm is so much greater than the earthly realm. We need to think outside of where we are and lay our treasures in heaven, where there will be eternal treasures, where we can give it back to God and say, thank you, Lord, for what you have done for me. This is what I have for you. But too often, our hearts, our treasures are in this world. Because it says here, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And I wonder, where is your treasure? What do you treasure far above anything else? A few things come to my mind that people treasure. In Poland, a lot of times they talk about health. That's the most important thing, health. It is. It definitely is. You definitely think about health when you're sick. When you're sick is definitely the time when you think, I wish I was healthy. When you're healthy is when you start, you know, taking it for granted. And you're like, no, it's no problem. And you have back problems and you can't walk, you can't stand up. Then you wish, oh, I wish I could stand up and walk. But definitely that is something that people lay up, and that's what they think about. That's what where their hearts is are. They also think about their careers, their families, their wealth. No, these are all so superficial. These are all just so earthly. Where is your heart?
Amen.
Where is your heart? It's hard to be obedient. psalmist says in Psalms 143, it's quite an interesting verse right here. I didn't write it down, so I have to read it here. The Bible says in 143, "Teach me to do thy will, for thou art my God. Thy spirit is good. Lead me into the land of uprightness. Teach me to do thy will." It's a lesson. It's a lifelong lesson. God must teach us time and time again to do His will. The psalmist here understood it. Teach me to do thy will. How many times must God teach you to do His will? How many times must He show you that His will is more valuable, more blessed than your will?
Amen.
How many times must you fail, must we fail, till we understand that His will is better
Amen.
Than our will?
Mercy, Lord. Amen.
So many times it happens. Obedience. In 1 Samuel, if you remember, when Saul disobeyed God's word, and God sent him, just said, "All right, you're done. I'm giving it to David." When he disobeyed God's word, what did he say? He said, "To obey is better than sacrifice."
Amen.
To obey is better than sacrifice. I taught my kids this verse because I thought it was perfect to teach children obedience. And to make it a little bit simple for my children, I want to tell you what I told them. To obey is better than your own thoughts, than your own ideas, than your own ways. That's exactly what Saul did. He had his own ideas. Well, you know what? There are so many animals. They're perfect. I might as well keep them and sacrifice them. I'll just, you know, it's a good thing. Sacrifice to the Lord. But that was a complete and utter disobedience of God's commandment.
That's right.
Your thoughts are not His thoughts.
Right.
You must obey God's word.
Amen.
That right now is what I think where we are right now. Obedience. Let's obey God's word.
Amen. Amen.
God calls you to do a work. You say, "Yes, sir."
Amen.
You say, "Yes, sir." Where?
Uh-huh.
How far? When? I'm ready. But are you? Are you ready? We must be prepared. God will call, and God does call. But how many times has God called and nobody was there to listen? I wonder. I wonder who God is touching right now. Who God is calling. Lack of time. We've got to go on. Let's go back to Deuteronomy. It says, "Require thee to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all His ways, and to love Him." Once again, why must He ask us or tell us to love Him? Explain that one to me.
Amen.
Why does He must command you and me to love Him? After all He's done, we have to be told and commanded to love Him? I think this is really ironical. That God is talking to us and telling us, "Please, love me. Will you love me?
Amen.
When will you love me?" Do you just say and sing that you love Him? Do you actually do something about it?
Amen.
If you're married, especially if you're the husband, you just tell your wife you love her and do nothing to show it?
No.
That's not going to work.
It's
headed to a pitfall in a second. You're going to get yourself in big trouble if you just say, "I love you, I love you, I love you," and you sit on the couch and watch TV all day long or play on the computer, whatever you men do. Go fishing, that I talked about this morning. There you go. Think about it.
Yeah.
Too many of us, when it comes to God, we say we love Him. We sing we love Him. "I love you, Lord." Yeah. Well, great. Well, do you do it? Do you show it? How do you show it? What do you do to prove to God that you actually love Him?
Amen.
Do you just say it in the when you're sitting in the seat? And when you go home, you completely forget about it and go and do your own thing. Go right back to...
Lord, help us. All right.
Think about it.
Amen.
Let's love, not only in word, but in deed.
Amen.
Indeed.
Amen.
God wants you to do something. Let's not be lackadaisical. Let's let's not just sit and do nothing. Let's be workmen. Let's do what we should do. This is something that's been on my heart, because so often in Poland, we don't see very many men standing up for the Lord. We need men. Quit yourselves like men, the Bible says. Be like men. When I was a child, I spake as a child. When I became a man. We know we need men. Both here and in Poland and in Mexico. We lack. Where are the men? The men of courage who will stand up in the gap and say, I will.
Amen.
Where are the men? I preach this and I tell everywhere I go, we cannot build a church in Poland with women. Sorry, women. It's not an offense, but we cannot build a church with women. We need men.
Amen.
We need men who will do the work, who have a backbone to stand up. You know what? I will not do what everybody else is doing.
Amen.
I saw a great picture the other day. I don't know if you saw it. It just happened to be on one of the first pictures that popped up on the Facebook. I know it's a crazy thing. I'm talking about Facebook. Illegal topic. It was there. I only have it because my sister's here and I would like to see what's going on with my sisters and stuff like that.
Yeah, right.
You spend hours on it, we know. No. So, it was showed a picture of a black and white picture before when Hitler was in power. I don't know if you saw it or not. There were men and women all standing in right around, and there was one man who was just standing there. Doing nothing. He wasn't doing that. Everybody else around him was doing the high Hitler thing. He wasn't. He was just standing there looking around like, whatever. Where are the men like that?
Amen.
Where are the men like that who do not care what the crowd does?
Yeah.
Amen.
Who do not care what neighbor will say?
Yeah. Right.
How many people have lost and have not come to the gospel because they were fearful of their neighbor, of their parents, of their family, of some friend, or their wife, or everything. There's always an excuse. How many people have lost, have gone away? Where are the men? That's been on my heart. And I've started a Bible study for our young men in Poland. What it means to be a man.
Amen.
A biblical man. Not a man of today where he sits back and lets the wife take over and he just sits down and does nothing. That's what is happening in Poland right now. Right now, it's the women who are generally in charge. You know, you see that just the women are the ones leading the family. You know, the women are the ones that you know, go to work, and the man just sits and does nothing. Drinks himself to death. We need men. That's my prayer. That's my burden for Poland. We need men. We need pastors and elders and deacons who have the backbone to go against the grain.
Amen.
I think about His love. Why is it so hard for us to love Him?
Amen.
Why is it so hard for us to love Him? Why? I ask myself that question so many times. I fall into the trap of the devil has set for me, and I fall and I say, Lord, why? After all I've done, and I still fall.
Amen.
Well, I just thank God He loved us first.
Amen.
I think He loved us first. I thank God that He's Amen. The one who started the ball rolling. If it wasn't for Him, I would not be here.
Amen.
You would not be here.
Amen, brother.
I praise
Amen.
God for my Savior who loved me first. Go back to Deuteronomy. Lack of time, we have to wrap it up. Says, and to love Him, and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul. Servitude is a great privilege that we have to serve Almighty King.
Amen.
Almighty Creator. Servitude. Who do you serve today?
Amen. All right.
Who do we serve today?
Amen.
The Almighty Dollar? Too often it's about that. Too often, and I get disgusted when I hear in Poland, Even here, somebody told me the other day, I just love Joel Osteen. He's such a wonderful preacher. I said, well, that just explains where your Christianity is, how strong you are. You're a strong Christian. That's just meat. That's just plain meat right there. And it's so disgusting when it's all about the money. Souls are not about the money. It's not about the money. Of course, we cannot do it. We cannot function and live without it. I will not lie about that. It is needed, but it's not all about that.
That's right. Amen.
It's not our focus. It shouldn't be our focal point, but too often it is. Too often we get distracted and we think, you know what? I need, and so many people tell me, you know, before we get married and have children, we have to get ready for them, for children. But you'll never be ready financially. Believe me. Just have them. Just don't even worry about the money. Just deal with it day, child by child. You know, get the first one, it's hard. Get the second one, it's harder. Third one, all right, we figured it out by now. It's not a problem, but too many people are like, yeah, I got to prepare. I got to have a good job and whatever. Hey, look, just go. You know, when I was sent from this church, they didn't promise me. They didn't promise me, you know, look, you're going to have millions right away, so don't worry, just set it up. No. He said, we can't promise you anything. I'm like, oh, okay. Wonderful. Praise God. And that's where faith comes in.
Amen.
Will you believe? Will you trust?
Amen.
Will you obey? Will you go? Will you fear the Lord? Will you serve? Amen. Will you serve? Too many times we are kings of our own lives and not servants of Christ. We think we can rule it. You cannot. You tried. Remember those days when you tried to rule your own life? Where did it lead you?
Right.
Where did it? Where was it taking you until God finally woke you up and said, "Hey, you're going the wrong direction.
Thank you,
wake up!
Amen.
Your ways are not the right ways. Jesus Christ is the only way.
Amen.
The truth of life.
Amen.
Those things had to pop in your mind and had to show you His ways are what's more important, not your ways. Will you serve God? Colossians chapter 3. Verse 23. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ.
Amen.
Ye serve the Lord Christ. If you're a Christian, a born again believer in this room, you serve the Lord Christ.
Amen.
You may not act like you do,
right. But
you do. And you should.
Amen.
Serve the Lord Christ.
Amen. Yes, sir.
Let's stop pretending like we serve and let's do something.
Amen.
Let's stop pretending that we love Him. Let's love Him in word and deed.
Amen. Amen.
Let's stop pretending that we fear Him. Let's actually do it.
Amen.
Let's
Amen.
Actually prove to the Lord that we put Him first and ourselves last.
Amen.
His will is more better than my will.
Amen.
Thy will be done. Even the Lord Jesus Himself came to that conclusion when He was fixing to be crucified. He said, "Thy will be done, not mine."
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Let's do God's will.
Amen.
We serve the Lord. Bible says in Psalms 102, He says, "We serve the Lord with gladness." I believe.
Amen.
That's difficult to do sometimes, isn't it?
Amen.
Yes.
In Poland, it's so interesting, you know, that we quite often have to talk about joy for a good reason. You know, they just don't have naturally. You know, they're not like my grandfather, who was, you know, just a joyful man, just loved to love everybody and just was bubbling over, hugged everybody, even during meetings. You know, Brother Linda always talked about, even when somebody's in church, you go and hug somebody. Halfway during the sermon, you go and hug somebody. In Poland, there's not that kind of affection. You know, we need to have gladness in our hearts when we serve.
Amen.
Serve with gladness, even when we're not ready or don't like it, just serve with gladness. What a joy it is to serve the Lord. What a joy, what a blessing it is to serve God, the Creator of all of this. The one who saved you. We have the great privilege of serving that great and mighty King. Brothers and sisters, let's be resolved to serve God. Joshua, in the book of Joshua 24:15, is a great, great verse. What happened here? Great decision. A decision that calls is needed by a man. It says, "Choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your father served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord."
Amen.
We will serve the Lord. We will serve the Lord. That was his decision.
Amen.
That was his conclusion. That was, he stood up in the gap against all odds and said, "I don't care what you do, I will serve the Lord. What will be your stand? Where will you stand? Will you stand in the gap? Will you stand for Christ? Or will you stand with all the rest of the crowd and then sit back and do nothing?"
That's right. Amen.
Let's do something for God. Amen?
Amen.